I'd like to begin by thanking you for doing another interview with me today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I'd like to begin by asking you the following question. On Tuesday, March 15th, the NATO Association of Canada was lucky to have you attend and speak as a panelist at our cyber panel and discussion, which focused on information sharing, business, law enforcement, and civil society. The panel included the director of the Privacy and Cybercrime Institute at Ryerson University and a professional from SRI. In addition, a consultant from Mandiant joined as well. Mr. Marcus Troiano moderated the cyber panel and discussion. Dr. Abner Levine and George Platsis were also in attendance. I'd like for you to begin by discussing the significance and the impact of the cyber panel and discussion.
Well, it was such an interesting panel to be a part of, and what I really enjoyed about it is we had someone from the private sector moderating, we had someone from the private sector on the panel, and then we had someone from academia. So what was fascinating to me was that you'd think that we would come to different conclusions on some of these issues, but in a lot of places, I think we were really on the same page, which was, you know, really fascinating. I think right now everyone is struggling with the difference between information sharing and privacy. It's like a dichotomy where they sit on one side and the other. And I think the challenge is trying to figure out when it is best to share information, what information should be shared and how, and trying to figure that out in a space that's really changing so quickly. Like, all things cyber are moving at a pace that is faster than the law, faster than guidelines that we can generally come up with. And so that's making it a really interesting place to work. And I think that it was really exciting.
And I have to say that I've had many opportunities to watch you speak. And one of the first presentations I watched was one that you delivered at the McKinsey Institute. And the focus of that presentation was on the C3 unit, which you established here in the police department.
Yes.
And I want to say that all of the program editors, everyone at the NATO Association of Canada, immensely enjoyed your presentation. And oftentimes it's useful to have, you know, people who work in the field, in the industry, talking about the issue. And also, as a scholar and as an academic, your background is rich. You have a background, like you have a PhD, and on top of that, you have the work experience. So the presentation that you delivered on Tuesday, March 15th, was definitely intriguing, and at the same time, it provided everyone who attended the discussion with an opportunity to ask questions and to learn more about the issues pertaining to, you know, cybersecurity and privacy, what to disclose, what to share, what not to share. So it was definitely a useful discussion to have.
And thank you.
I think it's a discussion that people need to have as time progresses.
Well, what I love about these kinds of opportunities is that I always leave with a slightly different perspective, or I get a nugget of, you know, information that I didn't have. You know, you meet someone new. So it was a really great panel to be a part of. You had some excellent speakers. So
definitely. Thank you. In addition, cybersecurity has been one of the most talked about issues, as I mentioned. With your expertise and with your knowledge, can you discuss some of the strengths and the weaknesses that are associated with governments sharing data between each other in order to detect terrorist behavior?
Well, you remember that during 9/11, one of the big gaps that was identified after was that different agencies in the U.S. had key information that may have prevented it, or certainly changed the dynamic of what happened on that day. And that a lack of information sharing, that siloed approach, which so often happens in government, that really contributed to that outcome in a negative way. So, you know, the increasing the ability to strategically share information can be positive, and we want to be open to doing that. The challenge is that our laws are different, and Section 8 of the Charter in Canada protects you from, you know, breaches of privacy, and it's something to be valued. At the same time, you know, if, for example, if we had information that's going to the U.S., depending on the circumstances, and we see this, for example, with information that's shared in the cloud, right? If it's held in the U.S., it is subject to the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act is far more wide-reaching than the legislation we have here in Canada. So, you know, you might be surprised that when you're giving your information to Google, which, you know, lots of people do online, that that then could be subject to the Patriot Act. It's not something people think about. So it's not about not sharing information. It's about sharing information in a way that is strategic, that is meaningful, that's not random, that protects people's right to privacy, and that really looks at doing this in a comprehensive way, but in a way that tries to take into consideration all of these other things. While I said this space is changing so dynamically, so it's really interesting right now. It's challenging.
Definitely, and I wanted to mention that the last interview we had, we talked about the impact of, you know, using social media, using Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Everyone uses social media, but people don't necessarily read, you know, how your information will mm-hmm. be used. So mm-hmm. again, it all comes down to using social media responsibly,
yes.
using Google responsibly, and just being strategic as to how you share content and who you share it with.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Inspector Shauna Coxon, what would you say are some of the issues that were addressed in regards to government seeking information from large corporations?
Hmm. Well, I think the Apple case was really interesting, the most recent case where they tried to get, the FBI tried to get Apple to create a back door. And what I found really fascinating about this is it's so unusual for a government to try to get a private corporation to create a workaround, right? And now, interestingly enough, is as we know now, that issue got resolved and they were able to get into the locked phone without Apple assisting them. So it's sort of become a moot point. But I think it's a really interesting dynamic when you look at things socially and think, wow, you know, when was the last time we had a government try to force a private corporation to do something like that? And I'm not sure that that was a good move on the FBI's part. I think that they thought that it was going to highlight some of the issues with respect to encryption and how challenging things are for them. And I don't think that people in general were sympathetic to their cause, right?
Okay.
And it's interesting because it was able to eventually be opened up and de-encrypted without the help of Apple themselves. But, you know, it's a fascinating case in point right now. And I'm not sure that you'll see something like that happen again. I actually think that the challenge of encryption right now is that people are starting to understand how valuable privacy is. We've sort of started out by giving it up and posting everything online and, you know, the social media networks sort of, everybody's putting what they had for dinner out there. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but over time, I think people have come to appreciate that privacy is something to be valued. So you have customers seeking out encryption on things like, you know, Gmail accounts. You know, the people will choose a Gmail account over another account because it's encrypted. And so it's not necessarily about criminal behavior, but at a time when people are starting to value privacy and seek it out, you then have the government in the U.S. trying to get a private corporation to try to do a workaround on that encryption piece. So I don't think it hit the mark in terms of what they were looking for. But it's a fascinating case study, for sure.
Definitely. And in your opinion, would you say that information sharing plays a key role in cybersecurity as a defense strategy?
Yeah, and so there's a couple things that I think are fascinating about this. Certainly, I think it's really important. There's some interesting things happening out there in the private sector space. So in the policing space, there's a lot of great stuff that happens between us because legally we can share information between us. So I can share information with the OPP or the RCMP for the purpose of, you know, public safety, for example, on an investigation, right? We're legally allowed to do that. But some of the interesting things that are happening that are fairly new are you can look at corporations that are starting to look at ways to share information between themselves better in a way that hasn't been done before. So CCTX, which is the Canadian Cyber Threat Exchange, which you can check out online, they've just started up and there's some really big companies, including like Bell Canada and Air Canada, that are involved in it. And they're basically creating their own cyber intelligence alliance, if you will, where they're going to be sharing information. This is critical because when you get, for example, nation states trying to go after the government or different targets in Canada, those targets will often be private corporations because of the impact that they can have on the Canadian economy. So they need to be able to be nimble and strategize and know what's going on with other companies so that they can immediately look for fixes to be able to target harden themselves. So not only is it important between police agencies, it's important in the private sector. And then the challenging place is how easy is it for governments to share, like police agencies to share with the private sector and vice versa. That gets a bit complicated because certainly you don't give your information to Bell Canada and expect it to be turned over to the police. In fact, it won't be. We would require judicial authorization to do that. But if there were cyber attacks that were happening in multiple locations in Canada, very difficult to move quickly on that. So we're looking for ways to get information sharing happening quickly and more strategically between us.
And information sharing is not just for fighting terrorism on a national scale, though it is a tool used by localized law enforcement bodies and businesses to ensure that information security in general is protected. What we often lose sight of is how information sharing impacts us directly and on a personal level. For those listening to this podcast today, please discuss how information sharing has an impact on the members of the community, both directly and indirectly.
Well, I think in this day and age, there's more information out there on you and on me than there ever has been before, right? And the, you know, the cyber world has allowed for, you know, incredible capacity to do more things, right? Like I always tell the story of, you know, you come home and, you know, you're wearing your Fitbit and you walk in the door and, you know, now you can get your phone to turn on your lights, right? And, you know, you've got your TV, which is hooked up to your Wi-Fi. I mean, you just think about what's possible in our lives as a result of this space. At the same time, every time you sign up for something, Apple TV, Roku, you sign up for your Fitbit, you know, all the stuff you sign up, all the apps you have on your phone, all the social media spaces you're in, you're creating an account, you're creating a profile, and you're giving out information about yourself to a private sector company of some kind, right? So I think that people are starting to realize, as I said earlier, that privacy is so valuable. It's something to be really cherished. And I think from a community perspective that you have to be aware that every time you're giving your information up, information is the new commodity. So, you know, it's not that it's for free. You think it's for free, but you're actually giving them your information. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you got to know that it's out there. And what does that mean? One of the things I tell in terms of a positive story is Google did a survey where they did a test where they went out and looked at Christmas gifts you were going to get for your spouse. And they checked out how well you knew your spouse in terms of what he or she wanted. And then they looked at what Google, based on the searches and the ads that come up on the right-hand side, who was more accurate. Was your spouse or was Google more accurate? And
Google was more accurate
every time. So I always say, you know, if you don't know what to get someone for Christmas, ask Google. But that's based on algorithms that has to do with who you are, the entity resolution on who you are, as well as all the stuff you're looking for online, right? So, I mean, that's a really interesting thing. And I actually think that's great. If Google knows what I want, fantastic. But, you know, in doing that, you've given up all of that privacy. That information is out there. And it's being operationalized. It's not just out there. It's being used. So you have to be mindful of who you're giving your information up to. What does that look like? From a community perspective, there's some wonderful, rich information that can be gleaned about communities that might be at more risk for victimization of all different types, right? So that can help in robust city building and making things better. Mm-hmm. It can also be helpful to cyber criminals in the way that they might use it to exploit who you are, fraud, that kind of thing. So, you know, you just really need to be aware of it and be looking at your privacy settings. And I'm not going to tell you to read the agreements because I know nobody does.
No one does.
But just to be aware, as you said earlier, about who you're giving your information to, what does that look like, and making sure your privacy settings are as locked down as they can be.